and gentlemen, we're in business with Dudley Grosvenor.
Come along, hurry up, Mr. Grosvenor. You know what Miss Boots like if we're late for breakfast.
No need to panic, Mr. Worth. My sensual, sensitive nostrils do not detect the usual breakfast time smell of burning, and that means breakfast is not yet ready.
Oh, I can just picture it. Raw haddock, it.
We shall see. Now, we shall see. As I thought, the table is bare and no sign of old Mother Hubbard either.
Morning, Grosvenor. Morning, Worth.
Oh, morning, Major. Where's Miss Boot?
She won't be here this morning, but she's prepared breakfast last night. Here it is, all ready to be eaten.
Appetizing, isn't it? There's nothing I like more than a congealed poached egg covered in a thin film of dust.
Look, Mr. Grosvenor, there's a message written in burnt toast on the tablecloth.
So there is. Yes, it's from Miss Boot herself. Dear boys, I shall be away for a few days visiting my mother because she's sick. More likely she's sick because Miss Boot's visiting her.
Go on reading. Go.
However, I wouldn't leave my little tinkers to muddle along on their own, so I've arranged for my dear sweet sister Emily to look after you in my absence.
She's probably scared we'll try to break into the gas meter, right?
That is an unworthy, caddish thing to say, sir. I demand to apologize.
Yes, you're right. I apologize.
There's a P.S. It says, keep your thieving hands off the gas meter.
So we won't be seeing Miss Boot for a while. The lights are going on all over Europe.
Yeah, well, somebody has to run the establishment during her absence, and clearly I am the obvious choice. Now, we'll get a few things in.
One moment, sir. I am the obvious choice. After all, I'm used to handling men.
Gentlemen, please. Aren't we forgetting something? Sister Emily is coming.
Yes, Emily. Now, Miss Boot has spoken of her often. She resides, I believe, in Cheltenham.
Ah, there's a wide-open town.
Well, yes, Mr. Worth. To a man of your temperament, I'm sure you see Cheltenham as a cross between Tangiers and Dodge City. In its more depraved moments. I'm sure, however, that Miss Emily will turn out to be a dear, sweet old lady, reeking of decayed gentility and cheap lavender water.
Well, I hope she understands curry.
I'm sure she will, Major. But let's celebrate the occasion of Miss Boot's absence. I think we should start off, you know, with a good square meal. Just let me get my hands on that food cupboard.
Say, steady on, Grosvenor.
What?
Oh, I mean, raiding Miss Boot's larder. Well, don't you think that would be abusing her trust?
Trust, he says. It'll take me a good 2 hours to work out the combination of the lock.
Well, I dare say we'll think of something. Hello. There's a taxi drawing up outside.
Look. It must be Miss Boot's sister. She's arrived sooner than we expected. Still, now, never mind. If she's as sweet and gentle as you say, Mr. Grosvenor, she'll be like a mother to us.
Yeah, like a mother,
Let me arrange a cushion on this chair. And would you pass that footstool over? She'll be tired after her journey, you know. I'll answer the door.
I'd better go and spruce myself up. Shampoo my moustache. Give it a curry combing, as you might say, what?
All right, I'm coming. Little Miss Emily. How nice to see you.
I can't stand here all day. What were you doing, having a bath?
No.
Well, it's high time you did. Now, don't just stand there, you great lazy lump. Help me with my luggage. Grab hold of that cabin trunk, that suitcase, look, that crate there, that hat box.
Stop, please, my legs are buckling at the knees.
And you've only got the hat box? All right, I'll take them. Oh, here, you can carry Arnold.
Arnold? Who's Arnold?
A master, you scurvy landlubber! Help him from the yard arms!
Beg your pardon? Why, it's a parrot.
Of course it's a parrot. I never go anywhere without Arnold.
Of course not.
He belonged to my late husband. He was a sailor. Come along, then. We haven't got all day.
No, certainly. Yes, of course. I'll tell Mr. Grosvenor you're here. Ah, here he is. Mr. Grosvenor. Emily's arrived and she has a bird with her.
A bird, indeed. I don't know where you pick up such talk.
No.
Certainly not from me. If you mean a young person of the opposite sex... Hey, what a pug ugly pigeon. I'm not surprised he's got his nose flattened going around dressed like that, is he?
Who is this person?
This person? Ah, let me introduce you. Mr. Grosvenor, this is Miss Booth's sister.
Oh, I am charmed about your acquaintance.
Shut up! I've heard about you, Mr. Grosvenor, and I'm warning you. Don't.
Don't what?
Just don't.
Chance is a fine thing. Mr. Worth, yes. I can see we'll have to ingratiate ourselves here, not to say grovel a bit. Say something nice to the parrot.
Something nice, yes. Ah, there's a pretty Polly. Pretty Polly. Yeah, ah, there's a pretty... Ooh, there's a... Oh, oh, he's taken a lump out of my finger.
How dare you feed my parrot?
Forgive my friend, Miss Emily. He likes feeding parrots.
I'd like to feed that one to the cat.
Feed him to the cat. Feed him to the cat.
What did you say, Worth?
Well, it's hard to repeat it with your knee in my stomach.
Well, just watch your tongue in future. Right. Now, I'm a landlady for the next few days, so there's a couple of things I'd like to know. Is your room nice and comfy?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes, yeah, very cosy indeed. Dry, warm, there's a lovely view.
Good. Sounds just right for Arnold. You can move out tonight.
Polly wants a cracker. Polly wants a cracker.
Polly will get a punch up the beak, I'm telling you.
What did you say?
Nothing, no. Who taught you that half Nelson? Let me go. Here you are. Please take your coat off and make yourself comfy. We'll throw something on the fire. We'll soon have a nice blaze going.
Put that cage down.
Now, please. Don't get angry with us again, Miss Emily. I'm sure if you calm down, we'll get along famously.
Yes, no doubt. Miss Boot has already described us in glowing terms.
She told me something about you. I wish I could remember what it was.
Pieces of eight. Pieces of eight.
That's it. You haven't paid your rent.
No, no, you're quite wrong. We paid Miss Boot in full just before she left. Didn't we, Mr. Worth?
Yes, we paid. Suppose I'll have to take your word for it. Oh, yes. Where's the receipt?
Very intelligent bird, that, Miss Emily. I'd like to keep him pressed between the pages of Treasure Island.
Grosvenor, take off your jacket and step outside.
No, no, please, Miss Emily. If I've caused any offence, I apologise.
Just as well. I'm going to see what chaos you've caused in the rest of the house. Arnold.
Hello.
Watch him.
Mr. Grosvenor, these last few days have been agony. Now I know what it must have been like to serve under Captain Bligh on the Bounty.
Well, at least Captain Bligh didn't have a flaming parrot for his number one.
Our only topic of conversation is, when are you going to pay the rent? I keep telling her my allowance isn't due till the end of the month.
Well, we can't possibly stay till then. We'll just have to find something of value and sell it.
Something of value? She's locked up everything of value in the house. She's even impounded our clothes.
There is one thing of value she's overlooked, though. Mr. Christian here.
Eh? You mean sell Arnold?
Why not? It must be worth quite a bit. My pal Sid'll buy him off us.
What, the general dealer?
Yes, he'll give us quite a good price. Especially for such a renowned linguist as this particular bird is.
Yes, I know. But Arnold can only speak pidgin English.
That in itself is a mark of versatility. Pidgin English from a parrot isn't bad.
It is a bird. It is a bird.
Shut up, Arnold, or a grey-haired old parrot will be sitting somewhere mourning the loss of her only son.
Now, how are we going to smuggle Arnold out of the house? He'll kick up a devil of a fuss, and you can't possibly hide the cage under your coat.
No, that's true. No. We'll have to forget the cage and just take the bird. And then we can tell Emily that he's escaped and flown away. Yeah, come on, Mr. Worth. Yes. Get your hand in the cage and grab hold of him. Stick him in your overcoat pocket and we'll slip out.
No, I'm not going to. He doesn't like me. He'll bite me, I know.
Oh, no, he won't. He thinks the world of you, as who doesn't? Go on, Mr. Worth. Catch hold of him. I'll hold the door open. Mm-hmm. Mr. Worth, put that chair down. He's not a man-eating lion. Just think of him as an obese budgerigar.
All right, I'll try. Ah, then, that. Ah, come along, Arnold. Come along. Pretty Polly. There you are. Got you. Let go.
Don't play with him, Mr. Worth. You'll rouse the whole house.
Belay with him. Let go, Arnold. Belay there. Look what he's done. Another inch and he'd have severed my watch strap.
Help! Prepare to repel boarder.
Listen to him now. He's trying to make out it wasn't him that attacked me.
Mr. Worth.
Mr. Worth attacked me.
There you are, there, you see.
Mr. Worth attacked me. Blast of my embrace.
Dark at him. Now that he's won, he wants to get drunk.
That's an idea.
Mr. Grosvenor, how can get him drunk help?
Not us, I mean him. Oh. He's an ex-Navy bird, probably loves his tot of rum. If we get him tight, he'll go to sleep and we can get him out of the house quietly.
Yeah, but supposing he gets fighting drunk?
You are in a gloomy frame of mind.
So would you be if you just had a fight to the death with a man-eating parrot? Still, a drink isn't a bad idea. I could do with one.
Good. Nip up and borrow a bottle from the Major. We'll try it. Steady, boy, steady. You'll wake Emily.
He's a clever Polly. Good old Arnold. I like you, Arnold.
I like you.
Break up this mutual admiration society, Mr. Worth. You're worse than he is. Next time you want to take more sunflower seeds with it. Grab hold of him and let's get going.
Right. Got you.
Got him safe?
Yes.
Come on then. Let's go around to Sid's.
Hello, Dudley boy. Nice to see you.
There we are.
What brings you round at this time of night? You doing a moonlight flit?
No. There you are, can you? No, Sid, I've got a bit of business to discuss.
Well, what is it?
Well, Sid, we have acquired the most remarkable talking parrot.
Oh, how much is it?
To you, £5.
Look, parrots are not really my line, but, look, I tell you what, if you can assure me that he's valuable, I will see what I can do. All right, now, where is the bird?
Well, he's here in my pocket. Come on, Arnold, meet Uncle Sid.
That's a strange-looking parrot, eh? He's covered in fur.
No, that's not fur. That's the fluff from my pocket, that is.
Lovely talk of this parrot. He'll say anything.
Well, come on then, make him talk.
Yeah, all right. Come along, Arnold. Say something, Arnold.
Well, if that's the best he can do, he's no good to me.
Come on, Sid, he's worth a fiver. I mean, he's not at his best at the moment, you know. I mean, you wouldn't feel like having a chat if you'd spent half an hour in Mr. Worth's pocket.
Well, at it, you two. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you a shilling for him.
A shilling? You can't get a decent chicken for under £3 a pound.
Ah, all right, then. Half a crown, there.
Say £5, Bob, and we'll throw in the sage and onions for nothing.
Done.
Oh, poor Arnold. Who'd have thought he'd fly away? And now he's out there. He's in the wide open spaces. He's alone, friendless, angry.
Don't take on so, Miss Emily. Parrots are very adaptable animals. I know what I'm talking about.
Really, Mr. Grosvenor?
Yes, of course I do. And as an authority on the species, I can assure you that he's most likely flown back home to join his mates in Greenland. Hello, visitors. Mr. Worth's answering the door. Now, as I was saying, what you should do is get away from this house with its unhappy memories. Yes, why don't you have a few days in Bournemouth or New Delhi? Or try swimming the channel underwater.
Mr. Grosvenor, it's a policeman.
Good night, all.
And he's... Mr. Grosvenor, he's brought a friend.
What?
He's the man! Arrest him! Arrest him!
Precious! Where did you find him, Constable?
We apprehended the biped, madam, when we raided the premises of Slippery Sid, the well-known fence. Our information is that he was took there by two gents, name of Worth and Grosvenor.
Blimey, he split on us.
Oh, no, he didn't, sir. The parrot was taken to the station where he dictated a full statement. If he could have signed it, we'd have had you for kidnapping.
He's not a parrot, he's a stool pigeon.
Well, then.
If you care to press charges, I reckon they'd get about 5 years hard labour of peace.
Oh, no. I won't do that.
Bless you, dear lady. Take note, Mr. Worth. Yes. Charity and beauty do go hand in hand.
5 years, you say, Constable? I don't want them to get off that easy. I'll deal with them myself. You horrible pair of leprous insects. I've a good mind to break every bone in your bodies. I've a good mind to bash your heads together until you're senseless. Oh, if only I wasn't a weak, defenseless woman. I would make you suffer.
You see, Mr. Worth, I told you she'd laugh when she found out.
I get the feeling that we're unwanted here. We'd better find other lodgings. Don't you think
yes,
so?
Yes, perhaps you're right. Yes, goodbye, Miss Emily. It's been fun while it lasted.
Come back here! You step one foot outside of this house, I'll have you arrested. You heard what the policeman said. You don't move out of here until you've paid your rent.
But how can we pay if we can't go out?
You can work it off. Fourpence an hour.
Oh no.
Three whole days she's had us at it. Working from morning till night. With only bread and water, what am I going to do?
Offhand, I should say starve.
I'm beginning to hate that Emily woman, Mr. Grosvenor. Tell me, is that wrong of me?
You're getting bitter, you know, just because we're being kept prisoners in the house. Being cooped up is good for a man, Mr. Worth. It gives him time to think.
Yeah, it certainly does.
What have you been thinking about, Major?
I've been thinking, what on earth am I doing down here with you two, whitewashing the cellar? I mean, I've never paid rent. Ever. Never.
It's probably my fault, Major. I told Emily it was your rum that got Arnold drunk.
That wretched bird. I'd like to wring its neck.
I'd like to wring that ruddy Emily's neck. It's not being cooped up that I mind so much. You might even say that the state of cooped upness is my natural environment. What I miss most is food.
Just think. It's about 1 o'clock now. Lunchtime.
No, you mustn't. We don't get our bread and water till 10 o'clock tonight. I must have something to eat.
Well, empty out your pockets, man. We might find something there.
Yes, you're right. Right, here we are. Can we eat this?
A bit of fluff and 2 bus tickets. Well, I suppose we could make a sandwich. What else have you got?
Well, here's a used match, a pencil stub, and a...
What is it? What is it?
It's an old sticky boiled sweet.
Share it.
I will not. It's mine.
As commanding officer, I demand that you hand it over at once. We'll share it. 1 lick now and a suck at 4 o'clock this afternoon. And if I catch anybody surreptitiously nibbling it, he's on a court-martial.
Look, we must be able to get out of here somehow. It's like being a prisoner of war.
Yeah, I was a POW in the 1418 war.
Do you know anything about escaping?
Let me see now. Yes, I do remember one very ingenious escape plan. A chap in our hut disguised himself as a German general. Very realistic. Uniform, monocle, dueling scars, the lot. Then, while we created a diversion at one end of the camp, he walked out past the guards as calm as you please.
What happened?
They shot him before he'd gone 5 paces.
Thank you, Major, but I'm sure we can think of another method.
Very well, but first we must appoint an escape officer.
Thank you, I accept.
Hey, you?
Well, who else? I've broken out of better places than this, I can tell you. I can soon break out of here.
Well, I thought I might organize the breakout.
You couldn't break out in a rash. Oh, I see you have done. Now, let's think. How do we set about it?
Have we any weapons?
What about this?
Don't be ridiculous. We'd present a fine spectacle charging out of here brandishing a flue brush. Anyway, we can't strike a lady.
All right, we can't. Well, what do you suggest?
Strangler.
No, no, no. We must be subtle. Now, let's work it out logically. Now,
yes?
We're in the cellar.
Yes.
Now, through that wall lies the sewers. Mm-hmm. Above the sewer lies the street. We'll tunnel our way through.
I know what we'll do. We'll tunnel our way through.
I just said that.
Yes, I know, but I thought you'd like a second opinion. But what are we going to use to break through the wall?
Oh, look over here in the corner of the cellar. It's a spade. We can dig our way out, eh?
But there's only one spade, so we'll have to dig it in turns. Yes. One shoveling, one disposing of the earth, and one keeping lookout. Emily won't be down for hours yet, but it's best to be on the safe side.
Righto, I'll start shoveling.
Yes. I'll keep lookout.
And I'll dispose of the earth.
Good. You get digging, Major.
Good. Keep a lookout, Grosvenor. Go on.
Yep. Excuse me.
What is it?
How do I dispose of the earth?
Yes, it is a problem. You can't leave it lying around. Emily'd be bound to spot it.
I know.
Yeah?
We can dig a hole in the cellar floor and put the earth from the tunnel in there.
Mr. Worth, what are you going to do with the earth from the hole in the cellar floor?
Simple. We put it in the tunnel.
Major, give me that spade.
No, no, no. No, Grosvenor, no violence. We are all overwrought. Worth, yes. As I dig, fill your pockets with dirt.
Mm-hmm.
Then when they're full, you dig and I'll fill my pockets.
That's it. Then we go up to bed, we can empty them out and repeat it tomorrow.
Precisely.
Well, get digging, Major. We've got to get through as much as we can while we still have the strength to dig.
Okay. My word, we've made good progress. All my pockets are full.
So are mine. Grosvenor, it's your turn to wield the shovel.
Look out.
What is it?
Here comes Emily.
Quick, Mr. Worth, help me get these bricks back into the wall.
Yes, all right. Now, what shall I do with this earth?
Shove it in your mouth.
In my mouth?
Hurry up, she's coming.
Here you are then, you three. Here's your bread and water.
Oh, good. We are a bit peckish, aren't we, chaps?
Yes, rather.
Well, Mr. Worth, strange to see you hanging back. You're usually the first for food. Aren't you feeling the need of a snack?
No, thanks. I've just eaten.
You must forgive him. It's the delirium that comes from hunger.
I can't help that. I want this cellar spick and span by bedtime. I'm going to have a rest now, but I'm leaving Arnold here to keep an eye on you. Now, remember, Arnold, if they slack, raise the alarm.
Alarm! Alarm!
There's a clever boy. Right, I'll be down again 10 o'clock, and just you see this job's finished.
Did you hear what she said?
Yes.
She's coming down to inspect the cellar at 10 o'clock. She's bound to find the tunnel. Oh, all is lost.
I can't bear it. Hours of back-breaking work, all for nothing.
Gentlemen,
for nothing.
I'm afraid the situation calls for very drastic action.
You don't mean...
Yes, I will help with the digging.
Oh, if only she stays asleep till we escape.
Escape! Escape!
Ah, we were forgetting the fifth column in our midst here. Sling your jacket over him, Mr. Worth.
Yes.
Come along, don't waste time.
No, all right, now, come on, there.
We must be very careful, Mr. Grosvenor.
Heavy stuff.
I'm sure the main electricity cable is somewhere here. We won't be safe till we've found it.
Hold this a minute, Mr. Worth.
Right.
We found it.
I think I can see a gleam of light.
Yes.
Our
freedom.
I can feel fresh air blowing on my face.
Wonderful.
Gentlemen, we've made it.
He's right, you know. Quick, through the hole, everybody.
Go on, Major.
Well, I'm trying to get...
Go on.
It's no good.
What's wrong?
The hole's too small. I'm stuck.
Mr. Grosvenor, what shall we do?
Do? There's only one thing you can do. Leave me here. Make good your own escape. I won't have any false heroics. Do you hear? No false heroics. I order you to leave me here. I won't have you sacrificing your last chance.
Will you stop this incoherent muttering and let me get through?
Mr. Grosvenor, how could you? We can't leave him here to be recaptured by her.
You sentimental idiot. Oh, give me the exposed end of that cable.
What are you going to do?
Connect it to the exposed end of the Major.
No!
There, he's through. Come on, Mr. Worth, follow me.
Right. I'm right behind you. Oh, I say, we seem to be in a larger tunnel. I don't understand.
No, me, it's as black as ink in here. Oh.
What's that? Good heavens, it's someone carrying a light.
No, it isn't. Quick, back against the wall. Back against, what's that flat?
Mr. Grosvenor, do you know something?
Know what?
Well, it's just a shot in the dark, of course, but I can't help feeling that we're in the London Underground.
Thank you, Hawkeye. Well, now that Mr. Worth has deduced where we are, all we have to do is walk through the tunnel to the nearest station.
Yeah, then we'll be free of Miss Emily forever.
And that beastly parrot.
Come along, then. It'll be a tidy walk to Swiss Cottage.
Yes, certainly will.
Ah, well, the air gets healthier as we near the Vale of Health.
Stop. Eh? Both of you.
What? What's up?
Listen. We are being followed. Halt! Who goes there? Advance, I say, and identify yourself.
Mind the doors! Mind the doors!
Run for your lives, it's Arnold!
You've been listening to We're in Business with Peter Jones as Dudley Grosvenor and Harry Worth as his partner in crime. The parts of Sid and the Major were played by Dick Emery, Miss Emily by Patricia Hayes, and her parrot by Peter Hawkins. The script was written by Barry Took, Marty Feldman, and Peter Jones. And the program was produced by Charles Maxwell.